You're listening to Sports Tech Feed, the global sports technology podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Feed. I'm your host, Thomas Alomes. Great to have you join us again on the show today. We have Steve Wozniak, founder InfoSentience and generative AI expert. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thomas, thanks so much for having me.
So first of all, generative AI, what is it? I mean, that's AI is such a buzzword at the moment. You can't really move for hearing it as a term, and it seems to be applied to everything. But what is it, and how is it being used in sports?
Well, it's a very broad term, which is partially why you're hearing about it everywhere. I mean, generative AI is used to talk about programs that can create images or videos, but the biggest buzz certainly over the last few months has been around ChatGPT, which is a text LLM, which stands for large language model, which is, you know, essentially a really, really sophisticated autocomplete. But that definitely, I'm not using that to denigrate it. It's really a form of intelligence. And that's why people are so excited about it. So you can really see things happening with it that are just not things that we traditionally associate with computers, like just a level of capability that we didn't think maybe was even going to happen anytime this soon. And so I think that the main way that people are referring to generative AI today is these sort of text-based systems where you can enter in even very sophisticated long prompts and get back very, very sophisticated language that sounds like it was written by a human being.
Yeah, where, you know, it comes back to artificial intelligence, it does seem like it's intelligent and it's sentient in terms of what it spits back out at you.
Exactly.
And so how's that being used in sports?
Well, that's a good question. And in terms of the actual ChatGPT style technology, I'm not aware currently of any company that's using that technology in sports right now. And the reason for that is that as sophisticated as ChatGPT is, it really struggles with data, logical operations, things like that. It can hallucinate information, right? Like if it doesn't have the right answer, it will sometimes just try to give you the right answer. And when you're talking about numbers, right, that becomes a really big problem, right? Because it could just be talking about something that happened in, let's say, a game, right, that didn't actually happen, right? But it's maybe something that just generally can happen within sports, right, that it would start talking about. And so I think that that's a big holdup with using that technology within the sports space, is that we have to get to the point where that style of technology is able to handle numbers confidently and accurately. And we're just not there yet. And so what my company has been doing for a long time is using a different model of intelligence to create automated content that reads like it was written up by a human being, but doesn't have the problems of having issues with large data sets and essentially faking information.
Yeah, so it's on the content side, that's kind of one of the main areas that you think, or it is being used, but you think it has the most value is basically automating articles, news, whatever else, information for fans in a way that's quick and accurate.
Exactly, because there are a lot of spaces right now where generative AI, at least in the broad sense, not so much the LLMs like ChatGPT, but there's a lot of companies like mine that are using generative AI or what we used to call natural language generation to create all sorts of content within the sports space, including content that people probably don't realize is actually being written up by computers. So a lot of the content around, like if you search for how to watch, right? Like you say, hey, how do I watch this game? There's a lot of companies, including mine, that are creating automated content, previewing games. There's also automated content around game recaps, right? Like that are, you know, there's the AP that does, you know, their recaps, but that's sort of shared by almost all the companies in this space. And so there's not a lot of SEO value to that content. And so my company and some other companies do game recaps where, you know, we write up what happened in the game. And again, it's got to read like a human being wrote it, because if it's just super robotic, people are going to be turned off by that. right? They're almost going to feel like tricked, right? Like you go to read a game recap and it's just like, oh, here's the five most basic points within the game. Here's who won. Here's who lost. You know, it's kind of like, hey, come on, this isn't the recap. This is just like the box score just put in to words. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, you have to be able to have the sophistication to be able to find what are the unique events that actually happened within this game. What were the crazy streaks that are happening, or the streaks that broke, or how does this affect their playoff odds? Or, you know, was this revenge for like the last time they played where, you know, the one team blew the other team out? Was this a huge gambling upset? You know, all these different things that are interesting about sports. That's what you have to be able to surface in order to really have compelling content. And so we're able to do that. And we also do fantasy reports, which is another place where there's multiple companies doing automated reporting, because that's a situation where the issue is just scale, right? Where you have fantasy, you know, millions of people with their own individual fantasy teams. And there's no way that you could possibly cover that, right, with human reporters. It just wouldn't make any economic sense. So that's a space where if you've got software that can cover those topics, people are obviously very interested in their own fantasy league, right? But it's almost sort of, you know, it's kind of like a joke, right? Like the idea of like people talking about their own fantasy team to other people, right? Like it tends to not be as interesting to other people, but it's very interesting to them. And so it's really compelling to be able to write about their league, right? With all of the sort of content that you would have within a regular sports team, right? And so that's what we do for CBS, and there's some other companies doing that for other fantasy platforms, where we recap their game, we preview their game, we do draft reports, we do year-end reports, and top games, or like all sorts of different content, just like you'd have in a regular sports league, except it's just about your team, what happened with your games. And so I think that people really respond to that.
That's really cool, because obviously fantasy sports, especially in the US, it's just the lengths that people go to in terms of the kind of dedication. And you see on social media, people do their draft nights, and everyone gets dressed up as if they're getting drafted, and cosplaying a team manager and all that kind of stuff. But it's also big business. It's certainly is a gateway to sports betting in the US is one of the things. And then as a standalone product, but also just in terms of engagement with fans, it gets people watching and interacting with a lot more sports than they normally would, because you're not just following necessarily a team. You're following lots of different players across lots of different teams. You're interested in individual performances. You're interested in that across an entire league. So that's as you said, a lot of content. And is that where it kind of fits in? Because there's obviously a lot of controversy around AI. I mean, the classic brain is robots taking people's jobs, and it's kind of putting people out of work and all that kind of stuff that we see with any new technology. I would say from my perspective, I think the change in maybe the fear-mongering, or at least the concerns, is because now it's people in white collar jobs. They're getting threatened, I guess, when it was blue collar jobs, and it's, you know, in a factory assembly line, it's not quite as up in arms. The protected kind of pencil pushers like me, now it's kind of this fear that it's coming for our jobs. Is that well-founded? Is that like, what is it, you know, where is all this controversy coming from, apart from people just kind of being scared about, you know, fear, uncertainty, doubt, the fud of this new technology? Are there any other controversies in how this technology is being used?
So Thomas, I think that the fear that you identified is pretty widespread. And I do actually think that there's something to it, but more a little bit longer term, like 10 years from now. Because I think in the short term right now, what computers are doing is filling in the gaps of things that are just not economical to currently do with human writers, because human writers are just, they're always going to be better on some level, because even if the text is identical, right? If you know that it's coming from a human being, and that human being has, you know, some sort of personality or some sort of connection that you have with them, then it's going to be better, right? And so I think that long-term, people that have interesting takes, interesting personalities, something different to say, they're always going to be okay. But in the short term, filling in the spaces where it wouldn't be possible to cover content with human writers, like fantasy is one that I just mentioned, but even just covering, you know, random NCAA men's basketball, like tier two games, you know, there's not, each individual sports organization does not have a reporter that's currently set to cover those games, right? So they just don't have any unique content on that game. And we can fill in those gaps. I do think that, you know, there's still some general reporting that is being done by human beings that might start to be affected by generative AI in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. But even if that happens, you know, there's still so much content that's not being written right now. And so, you know, like with, for instance, with at CBS, there are some articles that maybe were written by human beings that are now being written by our software, but then they've just taken those reporters and used them to write about things that are just much more interesting. To be honest, I mean, they're really actually happy because they're like, there was some basic, just kind of like grunt work that we were having to do that was really repetitious and not that interesting to us. And then they can actually focus on, you know, interesting things that are going on within the game that are not amenable to automated reporting, like, you know, some sort of crazy trade or some sort of off-field incident, or, you know, something with fans or all these different things that our computers are nowhere close to being able to report on. It's like the reporters can actually write about that. And they're actually excited to be writing on something like that, as opposed to, you know, doing the 500th article on, you know, some sort of random topic.
Yeah. So, I mean, talked about it with AI in computer vision systems. So automated cameras that you can set up that are cheap, means that some sports rights that weren't economical, weren't, you know, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze in terms of sending a full production team there. Now you can broadcast them. So I think women's sports benefited from that. Lower level leagues has benefited from that. So yeah, there's a balance to it, obviously, rather than just the kind of the hype either way. And I mean, going forward, what role can you expect AI to play in the future of sports?
Well, I mean, again, kind of, you know, I was just saying, hey, we don't need to worry about anything with putting people out of jobs, but it's definitely the case that it's going to take over, I think, more and more topics, right? Like the capability of AI is going to be able to start to be more sophisticated and to talk more about, for instance, like one of the things our company is doing is instead of just reporting on kind of the basics or the second level version of what's going on in a game, right? Like how, like contextualizing it in the sense of, is this team on a winning streak? Are they, you know, what are their playoff chances? All these things like that, is really diving deep into some of the stats, right? To say like, all right, this team has, for instance, been really good from the 3-point line for the season, but over the last 5 games, they've really struggled, or over the last 5 games, they've taken fewer 3-point shots and they've been attacking the paint more, or that's been their strategy ever since player X went down. I mean, these are the types of stories that we're now incorporating into our content, and those types of things are, you know, potentially going to disrupt, you know, current reporters' workloads. And, but I still think that there's just so much content that needs to be done. I mean, like you're talking about with women's sports, that's something that could be, that needs just so much more content, right? And so automated content can start to fill in those gaps. The other thing is thinking about live sports and kind of live content. One of the things that we're working on is, for instance, live gambling content, right? So there's so much action in the live gambling world these days. And so being able to create content, you know, instantly, essentially, depending on how the game is changing, is something that, again, you can't really even do with human beings, right? So this isn't something that's going to take anybody's job, but you can have content for live sports that is constantly updating, constantly changing, right? And that's, again, the type of thing that can't be done currently, but that with AI, will suddenly become possible. And I think that there's so many things that I haven't thought about, or even people in our industry haven't even thought about, because we don't even think about it as potential content right now, because that hasn't been the world that we've lived in. But once you have software that can intelligently write about sports, it just open, you know, on, you know, that's instantaneous, that's basically doesn't have any issues with scale, right? It just creates an entire universe of new information that can be produced. And so it's going to be exciting to see what people come up with in terms of, you know, what type of content, you know, is going to even be allowed by such an explosion.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of the controversies around, well, how's it going to be used on the world that we know today? And it's going, well, no, this technology is so powerful that it will change what is possible. It will change the concepts of that. So saying, hey, it's just going to replace journalists with automatically generated content is kind of incorrect, because it's going, well, actually, there's going to be so much more that can be done. So what they do will be different.
Exactly. And going back to what I was saying about personalities, you know, if you think about what makes people really popular, right, in the sports space, it's their particular take, right? It's not that they're able to produce 10,000 articles, right? It's that they have a particular perspective, and people are really interested in hearing about what that individual person has to say, or looking at how they react when somebody calls them out, right? In terms of like, hey, you had this prediction and that totally didn't come to play, or they're gloating about that they had this prediction and it did come to play, right? Like, all of these things are still, you know, just aspects of people, right, that we care about. And it's not even so much the actual content. Again, if you put it into text, maybe there'd be a computer that could do the same thing, but it still wouldn't be compelling in that same way. And so I think that there's that space that's always going to be human. And then you have, you know, this space that AI, I think, is going to fill naturally, which is going to be just filling in all the gaps, right, of so much content that doesn't exist, or even also helping human writers to write. You know, that's something that we're working on with CBS right now, is creating a sort of a journalist assistant that sort of surfaces interesting information for them to be able to write about, but it doesn't actually complete the article, right? Like, the journalist is still going to be in charge of what to pick and choose, and also like how to, you know, incorporate information that's not statistics based, right? Like things that are off of Twitter or off of social media, or just, you know, highlights, things like that, that really you need a human being to sort of react to. They can integrate that into the more statistics based stuff, which is something that computers can be a little bit better at surfacing.
Yeah. And to your point around, well, it's people are actually attracted to, you know, personalities. You think about big personalities, say Stephen A. Smith, or kind of Pat McAfee is obviously one that's, I guess, taken the sports media world by storm a little bit. But couldn't, if this technology gets good enough, couldn't they be essentially, you know, replicated? Like, couldn't you have both? Couldn't you have them producing just a huge amount of content that the program can understand how they speak? Or is that, again, one of those things, okay, well, that's like 10 years off and we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, this kind of worst case scenario, Terminator kind of end of the world type thing?
No, I think you're right on in that it absolutely could be done. And you certainly look to, in the world of music, for instance, I don't know if you've seen these sort of automated versions of, you know, here's a Drake Rihanna collab, right? And it'll write all the lyrics and literally sing the song and put together a beat. And it's pretty much indistinguishable from what they might sound like in real life. And these things got a lot of press, particularly, I feel like the about a month ago, this was really hot, but I feel like it's petered off even in that month. And I think it's because of this human aspect, right? Like, it's really cool that the computer can do it, but we know it's not actually Drake and Rihanna, right? And I think that matters. And another way you could think about it is like a painting, right? Like, you can have a replica of a Picasso painting that looks just like the Picasso painting, but if it's not the Picasso, right, it's not worth anything close to the real version, right? Even though it's basically identical if you look at it. And so I think that that's most likely to be the case, even if, you know, they can very successfully create automated versions of these, you know, sportscasters or these hot take folks, right? It's like, I still think that there will just be a fundamental preference for people that are real.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that, how we got from Stephen A. Smith, Pat McAfee, Drake Rihanna, and then to Picasso. So I think that's probably a good note to end on. And thank you so much for your time today, Stephen. Before I let you go, a question we ask all our guests to round out the show is, what is your favorite sporting moment of all time?
I think it has to be, I'm dating myself a little bit here, but it's got to be the Kirk Gibson home run. I remember watching that when I was a little kid. That was, you know, 1988 Dodgers and A's. And that was pretty wild. I mean, that's just one of those things where, you know, if you wrote about it in a sports movie, you know, it just seemed like it's, all right, this is going too far, which I think is the best part about sports, is that if you watch it long enough, you see these events that are, that would be seem as ridiculous if you wrote about it in a movie. And so I think just so much going on there. And so I don't know. I think that's my favorite. And I was a kid and I was going crazy. So I think that that's my favorite all time.
So that was the walk-off home run game.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah, Eckersley, you know, he was injured and didn't play in the game and limps up to the mound. And then, you know, it's basically like he has to hit a home run because he can't even hit a single practice because he could barely move, you know? So it's like just throwing all that, you know, basically sort of, you know, just putting all his eggs in one basket and just being like, all right, I think this guy can get a home run off, you know, who was the best reliever in the game at the time. It's just so wild, you know, and then he hits it. And then there's the great Vince Scully call where he says, you know, in the season of the improbable, the impossible has happened. So it's like, and Vince Scully's my favorite broadcaster. So it's like, that's his, I think, his best call. So it's just like all of it wrapped up into one. I think it's just perfect.
Well, there you go. And also, I mean, wrapping up a nice bow on today's episode, but Vince Scully, for instance, and you're saying that's his favorite call, and you know that from it being Vin rather than it being, you know, computer generated. So
that's right. That's exactly right.
That's a good way to allay some of the concerns that everyone has about this taking over the world, but also recognize that there's an incredible benefit to sports fans available from generative AI. So thank you so much, Steve, for being on Sports Tech Feed.
Thomas, thanks so much for having me.